about Steve the pirate.
We gotta do a disclaimer up front, letting everybody know that we are friends with Ian and all the jokes are good fun. And yeah. Agreed to do that, knowing what he was gonna get.
Knowing that Mark was gonna be on here.
Requested.
Yeah. Mark requested to be here. So you know he's been, and what does he have, like 5 or 6 weeks worth of jokes that he's been writing and working on?
What makes it even better is Ian showed up in an eye patch.
I did.
Yeah.
I need it for the with computer. The
name Ian the Pirate.
Arr, matey.
I do have people who, one guy, someone said at the, what was it? I think it was at the Honolulu airport. Someone did exactly that, kind of thinking I couldn't hear them, like passed me and says, arr, matey. Said exactly that. And then my mom's like, I think he's just calling you out on the pirate look or something like that when we were heading home. So
that's so rude.
Did you yell back, wait until the Netflix movie drops, bro?
No. Although I love little kids when they look at me, because they'll just be like watching me go by, walk by, just staring. And I'm like, Dad, is he a pirate? Like, what's going on? It's super funny.
You should totally wear a hat around too. It'd be perfect.
It would be good.
You can't commit any crimes because you're instantly recognizable. So everybody will know it was you.
No, that's a problem.
Especially in your area. Ian the pot, the dope dealer, the pirate dope dealer.
My face, my picture's been twice on the front page of our tiny town newspaper. And so it's like, I'm not getting away from anything at this point. So,
yeah. But not with the eye, was it with the eye patch? I don't know. Was it just an old other?
No, it was just other pictures of me. So, yeah.
Hello, welcome to the Miles to Memories podcast. I'm Sean Coomer, your host. Hopefully you enjoyed a little bit of our banter coming in. I'm joined today by Ian Snyder, MTM contributor, also contributes to Award Wallet and other sites as well, and famous for falling off a 1,000-foot cliff that we'll talk about on this show. Welcome, Ian.
Glad to be here.
And Mark Osterman from Travel on Points. You hear his laugh. He's here as well. Welcome, Mark. Glad to have you here.
By multiple requests, like I've asked so many times, when are we doing this? When are we doing this? I have so many questions, so many jokes. It's going to be a little bit inappropriate, but Ian gave us the okay with his one wink. He winked one of his eyes. The other one's behind an eye patch.
So please forgive us for all the fun. We're just going to try to make this story of him almost dying in Hawaii a lot of fun. I mean, it's an insane story. Can we talk about how we found out about this, Mark? Because we didn't even find out until he was already found, basically. We saw it on Twitter, so that you were missing for a few days, and then we saw notification that you might still be missing, and then they found you, but you had already been missing for days and days and days, and that's how we found out. And then everybody messaged, did you know about Ian? Did you know about Ian? And we're going to talk about your Hawaii adventure, and you know, I think you should be an excellent tour guide for the islands now that you spent so much time there. But yeah, it was nutty really, to find that out.
I really don't spend much time there. That's the...
I mean, you've gone there like 4 times in the last 2 years, I feel like.
Nah, I think of 3 times ever. 3 times ever.
Yeah, that's it. It was all like within this last little bit of time, it feels, because you just like were finding good deals or whatever. But no, I remember seeing the pictures on Twitter when you were posting from your hike, like the most beautiful picture ever, and it looked really cool. And then I didn't really see anything for a couple of days, and somebody messaged me. They're like, what's going on with Ian? I'm like, I don't know. He's in Hawaii. I haven't heard anything. And then I found the thread. And then I think it was Dan Miller at Points with a Crew that had posted something like an update from Ian's sister, but it was really like cryptic still. So there was no like full on, all right, Ian was on a hike and he disappeared and he's been missing. And then as soon as I saw that, and then a couple like hours later, it was Ian's been found and he's healthy. And we're all like, whoa, I'm glad I didn't know about it until the end, because I would have been stressing for like 3 days. So I feel bad for your sister and everybody else that was dealing with all that. That just had to be crazy. I couldn't imagine. But I'm glad that it was like an hour later and they're like, Ian's good. I'm like, okay, I think he almost died. I told my wife, I think Ian almost died, but they found him. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, it was nuts. And I was chatting with you, Ian, on DM as you were going out for that hike. So that was the last correspondence I had with you. And
Was it that day?
Because it was exactly where you went hiking that you told, or maybe it was the day before, but you told me you were going hiking at the spot you went hiking, which we'll talk about. But yeah, it was just nutty. We didn't have to go through all the emotional issues of worrying about you too much, you know, maybe for a couple hours, but we kind of knew you were okay by then. which is probably why we have so much humor about it. I mean, there was no real, like, is Ian dead? Like, Ian's been missing hiking for 3 days. Like, if that's a whole different story than Ian fell and he's been found. We didn't really find out the true details of it until later, but we'll get into all of that. So you went to Hawaii. Why did you go to Hawaii? I mean, why go to Hawaii 3 times? Has it been a place? I mean, find good redemptions from the West Coast. Why choose Hawaii?
I've only been 3 times, twice to Oahu and once to the Big Island. I've gotten deals every time. And this trip was essentially kind of the remnants of a trip that I had planned that was going to be a little bit bigger. And I decided to cancel it kind of last minute and then just take the long weekend where I didn't have my kids with me to just go back to Oahu. Because I took them to Oahu the previous year in November. So November 2022, I took my sons to Oahu. We had a nice several days there, I think 5-6 nights. So it was my first time on Oahu. And I thought, well, found deals. I used Turkish miles to fly there and Air Canada miles to fly back. And I ate those miles because I didn't fly back. That was the ticket. So it was really cheap. And I thought, hey, I'll just make a cheap trip out of it. Tells all on points, all Hyatt points and certificates. I didn't rent a car. I took the bus around and decided to hike. I was doing cheap stuff. My one splurge was going to be a surfing lesson. I never surfed. That was my trip in a nutshell. I had hiked Coco Crater on Sunday, and I had the hike, my fateful hike that I did on Monday, and then did not fly home Tuesday.
Seems like your one splurge should have been a Life water pen.
Like the straw you stick in the creek?
Yeah, that kills all the bacteria.
Yeah, I think my dad got me one of those for Christmas.
Oh, that's amazing. Those things are like legit, though. They're pretty crazy. They always pop up on Prime Day. Like, it's one of the deals that I'm always like, I don't really go out in the wilderness, but if I did, I would definitely have one of these. So now you know, next time.
Now I have one.
Yeah, if you're ever stuck at the bottom of a waterfall for days, then you can just stick your straw in there and suck it out. No bacteria. I guess we should just talk about the hike. So were you hiking when all of this happened?
So I was up on a range of mountains or ridge of mountains, but people have called the Ku'ulaus. So if you know Oahu at all, there's kind of a ridge separating city of Honolulu from some of the other towns on the east end of the island. So Kailua Beach is on the northeast shore, not the north shore, just like the eastern tip of the island, but on the northern shore of that. So Kailua, Waimanalo Beach, I'm probably going to butcher the names. There's a couple beaches out there that are really nice. I took the boys 2 days to Kailua when we were there. We loved it the previous year. I remember seeing the mountains when we took the Pali Highway back, and they looked really cool. They just have a great look. They look rugged, majestic, not really rugged, but like just, they look better from the north side because kind of more gentle slope from Honolulu, but they're more abrupt from the north side. They look really cool. So I had hiked Coco Crater the previous day, which is a very steep hike, but short hike. Did it in the afternoon. And I settled on hiking the trail that I did, just planned basically from Google. I use Google for just getting around all the time. On the trails on there, I could take a trail out of a Honolulu neighborhood up the ridge and then hike along that ridge of the Ku'ulaus for a few miles. And I was going to come drop down to the Pali Highway, which is what it looked like it did, and then hike a trail kind of parallel to the highway back to a service station, take the bus back to Honolulu. So that was the day plan. I got most of the way done with it, obviously, and fell down the hill.
just casually says, then I fell down the hill. It's like Jack and Jill went up the hill, and then you didn't get your bucket of water or whatever. But I heard about this and everything, I pulled up some videos of the hike in the area of people that do it. And calling it a hike is kind of, you know, doesn't really give perspective. It's basically like tightrope walking across the mountain with like a trail that's the size of 10 ants put together. It is kind of crazy looking. Is it that crazy when you're doing it?
It's pretty extreme. I didn't think about this till after the fact. It's probably one of the most extreme hikes I've ever done. And it kind of just got progressively more and more and more extreme. So I didn't know, it was gradual. So the first ridge was fine. I get up to the peak. There's one section, they had a eroded section where someone had strung a cord of webbing there along it. You had to kind of haul yourself up using the webbing, catch your footing along the way. That helped. I made it up there, made it up the peak, came back down, found the trail that would take me along the ridge from there. And it didn't disappear, but it was very clear that there was a whole lot less travel. And then you're really on the knife's edge of a ridge for a long time after that. Yeah, the northern side is very sheer. I knew if I fall off that, I'm dead. But on the southern side, if I slipped or something, I'd probably be able to catch myself and get back to the trail. It's pretty extreme. I'm on the ridgetop for miles trying to stay on top of it and follow the trail the whole way. So
isn't there points where you have to like scale a rock and stuff, like a wall?
I didn't even get to that part. That was going to be, that was like what awaited me had I finished the hike.
You took the easy way out and you went down the hill.
So that was
the shortcut.
Yes.
He did the video game hack. He hit the Y button. It was like, I'm going to go this way.
So I didn't know. I thought I'd make it out to the Pali Highway, like just down the end of the ridge, the Pali Highway. That's what Google told me I was going to do. But that's not what it really is. There's a section of trail called Pali Notches, and it's exactly kind of what you're describing. It's more like rock climbing / bouldering plus hiking mashed together. You do bits of each to get up and down there. I didn't make it to that part. Things get fuzzy.
How is any of this allowed? Like, I don't understand why this is even open to people.
So good question. Very good question. I actually this morning filmed or took, the guy took footage of me for a public service announcement, PSA. He's from a Hawaii state agency. So he came to where I live and we just did that this morning. They have managed trails that are like sanctioned. They manage, they know they're there. They have trailheads. This trail is not a sanctioned trail. So there's part of it. The beginning section I was on was a sanctioned trail, part of the ridge up to the first peak, but the whole section on top of the ridge, not a sanctioned trail. I believe it's public land, but hikers just still do it. And the Pali Notches, had I gone in from that end when I was going to finish the hike, they have a like trail closed sign there. Yeah, it would have warned you from doing that, but they still have people who do it. So they're not sanctioned, but they can't really police all the hikers that still go out there and do these trails. So like I said, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. Google led me astray. And they've actually since, the hiking community of Oahu actually since petitioned Google to pull those trails, those paths off of Google Maps. And they did.
Did they ask you to wear the eye patch in the public service announcement just for more dramatic effect?
And a hat.
No, I asked him if he wanted me to. No hat. No, I asked him today. I'm like, should I keep it on or off? And then I ended up just keeping it on. So we'll see how it turns out.
And then a boar ate my fist, so I have this hook too, people.
Do you think that when you go back to Hawaii in the future, that everybody's just going to be like, you're the guy that fell off the cliff from all the public service announcements? Like, they're going to recognize you?
I don't know. Good question. I had three people recognize me from the news the day before in Honolulu when I was leaving. Like, oh, you're that guy. You're that guy from the news. And one took a picture of me. And I was just like, well, is this how it's going to be? So yeah, that's Honolulu Airport.
So let's go back to the hike, because you did post a short video, I think from one of the ridgetops, or that was your last tweet that you had sent before it all happened. Where was that in relation to where you fell, and you were able to get cell signal, or were you taking a lot of pictures? What were you doing?
I had a bunch of pictures I took. Sadly, the phone that I had taking the pictures succumbed to Oahu, and I did not connect with Dropbox and upload all my photos from that day or the day before. So that makes me a little sad. But I am thankful I'm alive still, and they were able to locate me using that phone's like last known location.
Yeah, good thing you didn't have that phone that doesn't take pictures and doesn't have internet.
I have that one too. I had both.
So a little backstory on this. Ian's like, I'm going to use this phone. It doesn't have photos, but he still carried around like an iPhone with Wi-Fi, an old one. So just think if you didn't have the new one that geolocated and all that stuff. It's kind of crazy to think about. Yeah.
No, my old iPhone got stolen in Mexico City. So that's the story behind that one. So
two out of the three people here got their phone stolen.
That's true.
I'm the one that didn't.
We were too sober, I think. All the drunk people didn't have their stuff stolen for some reason. The one thing I'm not clear about from hearing this story or kind of getting bits and pieces, and I haven't specifically asked you about it until now because I knew we would talk about it, is how did you fall? Like, how did this happen? I can kind of envision, and we'll put a link in the description to like the tweet so you can kind of get an idea.
Selfie. It was a selfie.
But I want to know exactly how did it happen where one minute you're on the ridge and then, you know, do you remember going down, tumbling down? This is 1,000 feet. This blows my mind. I can't imagine this. This is like the Empire State Building almost that you fell. How did that exactly go down?
That's the fuzzy part in my head. I don't remember enough. My last clear memory, I was at the top of, there's kind of a double peak. They're called K1 and K2. Stands for some long Hawaiian word that I don't know.
That's kind of scary.
It's not the K1, K2 or whatever from the Himalayas, but it's K1, K2 right there on top of the ridge. I remember being at the top of one of them, and it's pretty steep, dramatic peak. My last clear memory is starting to head down the ridge and realize, I think I'm going the wrong way. There's like three main ways you can go. So I came in one, there's two other ways to go. Pulled out my phone. Sure enough, I'm heading the wrong direction. I'm heading back towards Honolulu in this case, not going to continue on the ridge. So I go back up the ridge and I start to head down. I do remember the next section heading down that was steeper than the couple hundred yards I'd done. And it was getting gnarly. That was getting to be the gnarliest part of the hike thus far. And after that, things get really, really fuzzy. I have a mental image of seeing the Pali Highway, of what was my goal. I don't know how far I made it further. To the best of my recollection, I actually backtracked because of what I was seeing. It looked too crazy to try to finish the hike, looked too extreme. And to the best of my knowledge, I think I actually started down the steep, steep side slope that I ultimately fell down of my own choice. There was like that of the options to try to finish the hike. That seemed to be, I don't know why. Maybe it seemed like the best one at the time, but I know I didn't even make it close to 1,000 feet. Down from there. Either I'm not remembering correctly and I truly slipped off the trail and just rolled, tumbled. It's not cliff. It's just really steep hillside that has vegetation and rocks, etc. on it. So either I chose to go down that way or I did actually tumble off the trail. I don't have a clear enough memory to really know which one it is.
That's nuts. Just to think about, first off, a trail like that, you know, where you're sort of stuck, right? It sounds like you were stuck trying to find your best way out and, you know, by yourself. And that has to be a scary thing. And I can definitely envision 1,000-foot hillside, you know, clearly, like you said, not a cliff that you just fall off and sway. You're basically rolling down this giant hill, but 1,000 feet. I mean, that's crazy. So what's your next memory?
My next memory is, see, the next few are fuzzy. I don't know if they looked into this or tested me for it at the hospital, but I had to have had a pretty bad concussion from everything I've described to other people I know here locally. I was in and out of consciousness. What I do remember from being down the bottom of the hill, or most of the way down the hill, 1,000 feet down off the trail, however I ended up there, I do remember waking up at one point. I think there was like night. I don't know if it was night first. I remember multiple times it was dusk or night. So, but I was very in and out of things, and my memory is very fuzzy at that time. I do remember a few things. I remember looking up the hill and seeing the little stream of water that was next to me or close to me. I remember seeing that and thinking the hillside slope above me is very steep. I can't go up there. And I remember thinking that if I go, I crawl a little bit forward and thinking, yeah, if I keep going, it's just going to be steep going downhill too. So I'm not on a shelf per se, but it's just like still sloped, but there's like, I don't know, maybe 10, 20, 30 feet, more than 10 feet, just area where I was that I knew that it's steep above me, steep below me. I can't really go anywhere, even if I wanted to. And I realized that I couldn't really think clearly to do anything at that point.
So you weren't like all the way down. You like fell, and this is kind of like a little ledge or a flat area before you get all the way to the bottom, essentially?
It's not a ledge per se. It's not like I got stuck on a little tiny ledge. It's a flat enough area to where I knew I'm not going to keep rolling, tumbling, etc. So the little stream was next to me, close to me. I think my backpack ended up in it, and I think my arm was in it. I think that's when I actually came to first. I remember being a little bit wet, but not really. My backpack actually took the brunt of it. It was still with me. And it got wet and then ended up, my parents threw it away because the hospital put it in a bag, stuck a biohazard thing on it, and then it stayed sealed in the bag for 2 full days. So it stank when they opened it after, and all my stuff's still in it. Like,
you're so mad about that backpack, I can tell.
So I was just, like, mom's trying to rescue my stuff out of it after the fact. And just like, what is this? And the whole room was smelling. It was terrible. But like, it got wet. I remember checking the phones. So I checked my non-smartphone and it was dead. I guess I lost my other smartphone up the hill. But for some crazy reason, I have a third phone. I have a soccer league phone. If you didn't know that part, I have a soccer league phone because I am.
Do you just walk around with like the 90s dad with all the clips on your belt so you can pull out all the different phones?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. That's his soccer coach. You know, when he's on the sidelines coaching soccer, he's got the big.
I don't have a fanny pack. I don't have the clips. I don't have anything. None of that silly.
You don't have a backpack anymore either.
I don't have a backpack anymore. They bought me. My parents bought me a new backpack. That was not a nice part. But like the, I have a third phone. For some reason, I threw the league phone in there, so I pulled that one out and checked it. It was it had been in the water too, and it was dead. So both neither of my phones worked. Amazingly, I threw them both in rice. A lady who's part of this nonprofit organization showed up in the hospital and was helping me. It's called the Visitor Aloha Society of Hawaii, VASH. She showed up. I was helping me with some basic things, and I asked her, "Could you bring a tub of rice so I can throw the phones in it now and see if they work?" At some point, that was on my mind, so I want to be able to contact people from them. And they managed to both end up okay all of a sudden, but out there on the hillside, neither of them worked.
That is one of the problems with our phones today. You don't remember anybody's number a lot of times.
Yeah,
like I still remember my wife's house number from when she grew up because I used to dial it all the time. But for the most part, her cell phone is the only number I know that I could call if I needed to.
Yeah, I know probably a dozen at most that are still active lines. So I mean, I know my home number growing up, but that's like, we don't have that anymore. I needed the phones to try to call somebody. So I realized phones are dead, can't contact anybody. I remember switching slightly where I was by the stream. To the best of my recollection, there's a section where it's like a couple reasonable sized rocks. And I try to kind of stick myself behind them. I thought if I shelter myself a little more, I was getting a little cold, but it's Hawaii. It's not, I'm getting chilly. I'm not getting actually truly cold. The temperature would drop at night, obviously. I stayed alive through the 3 days. And I also made sure I was close to the stream. So trying to shelter from the wind and close to the stream so I can dip my right hand across my body and get water. I didn't know why my left arm wasn't working. Didn't feel good, but I had a broken finger and a broken elbow. That was the story there. Why it was uncomfortable, but I was able to get water. And I remember looking at the sky going, there's a little patch and above me between the bushes or trees, little trees there. Like if someone's going to rescue me, they have to be able to spot me through that. So, and basically at that point, I just kind of laid down and I was in and out of consciousness for days. Yeah, so that was the extent of that. I remember probably maybe about a day before I got rescued, I remember just praying too. I'm like, Lord, if this is the time I'm going, I'm content, I'm fine, I'm ready to go, but I have kids, I want to stay. I want to still be here if that's your will. And that was my prayer from the hillside. I had lost track of time at that point. And but my guess, like a guesstimate, is probably about 24 hours after that, I was rescued. And that's a whole story in and of itself too, how everything got set in motion.
Oh, I do have a burning question, but we're going to get back to that. This is when we filled in the story when you were when you lost internet for a bit. But so you're laying there. Did you like position your body as best as you could to be seen, like to look different than just kind of blending in when you found the hole? Are you like, all right, I got to kick my legs out and stuff? Or are you just kind of not really in it at all? And at any point, were you like, I got to try to climb down, or that you knew there was no way that you could ever function enough to get off?
The bit from where I was coherent enough to think about things, I did not think there's any way I could crawl out of there. I had to have hit my head hard, given the injuries, to have a scar. It's going to be a scar up by the hairline.
Chicks dig scars. It's going to be good.
Scar, broken cheekbone, messed up eye. So I hit the right side of my head hard. And I think I had a concussion. I was out of it and just, I couldn't think straight. I knew I needed water. I remember thinking that. So I was next to the creek. And at some point I realized the only way I'm getting out of here is to be rescued. And someone has to see me from the sky. It's going to have to be a helicopter. I remember thinking that the weather wasn't conducive at first to having anyone see me. It was overcast and cloudy and not good. But by Thursday, I fell on Monday. And by Thursday, I remember waking up and hearing a chopper nearby and thinking, it's close and they're going slow. I hope they're looking for me.
So that was the first time you remember hearing a chopper though that day?
No, I'd heard stuff fly over. Like I remember hearing airplanes, other stuff. I knew they were going fast. Like they're on their way somewhere. It's like stuff coming into Honolulu Airport or a chopper, tour chopper, or something like that. But that was the first one that I'm like, oh, I could also hear the highway. So I do remember hearing the cars on the highway because I wasn't that far from the Pali Highway. So remember that. Those are the things I remember hearing. But that, I remember waking up and going, oh, this one's close. And it's going really slow. I think they're looking for me.
Did you try to signal them in any way? Or was it they just happened to spot you?
I just sat there and waited and hoped they'd find the hole in the trees. They actually were looking up the hill further because that's where my phone had fallen out of my shorts or out of my backpack or wherever it was at the time. My other iPhone, that's where they found the last known location. So they were looking above where I was, and they took the chopper down slightly and made a pass and saw me through the trees. And then they were all amazed, I guess, because I waved at them. So I saw the chopper coming into the one clear spot in the trees, and we were waving at them. They hung around, just kind of hovered there for a little bit, and then flew away. I hope they come back.
Did they tip the wing? Isn't that what they're supposed to do? Tip the wing?
I don't remember any of that. They just kind of sat there for a little bit, like not just very briefly, like a good number of seconds, like long enough time from what I remember, just, and then they flew away. I think they came back like within a few minutes from what I recall. But even then, I was not with it enough to really understand the amount of time. I do remember seeing the chopper get close, enough of a shadow, a guy is rappelling down over me and lands kind of slightly down the slope from me. I'm just kind of laying back and looking mostly up at the sky at that point. I didn't even get up. I didn't even move, didn't do anything. I remember seeing the chopper and just waving. That's all I could do at that point. So I knew the guy rappels down. I think it was like second past the chopper. Guy rappels down and he starts talking to me and asking me, how long you been out here? I'm like, I don't know. 2 days? 12 days? I have lost complete track. I have honestly no idea. I had no idea how long I'd been stuck out there. So he comes down, starts attending to me, starts radioing the guys. Another guy rappels down. They get me put in on a board, like a backboard, and then in some cage that a harness they put around you. And then the helicopter picks me up. So I'm flying through the air.
That's pretty cool. Come on. Can we just say how pretty cool it is to be dangling from a helicopter?
In a cage and on a backboard.
I don't know if you want to be up in the air swinging around after you just fell 1,000 feet, though. It's the last thing I want to do.
But think about the views. I mean, you're on Oahu right here. You're getting this Hawaiian tour. Beautiful views.
I had no views, though. That's the thing. The only thing I remember telling him is, like, I'm getting cold. And he's like, don't worry. It's going to be like another minute, because they're just gently flying through the air at that point. And the chopper pilot was good. I mean, I could tell, oh, we're going to go to the right or whichever direction. He was going slow enough that I'm not just swinging all over the place. So
were the two guys like sitting on that thing with you as they're flying through the air?
I talked to someone because someone responded. He must have been holding on to the thing on it with me. I know they left one there. I had to go get him after. But they headed down. There's a little reservoir, which was kind of their staging area when they were looking for me. They took me down there. I think they drove me from wherever they were down to meet the ambulance further down. All of that's fuzzy. I remember being in the air, but I don't remember seeing anything from where I was. I mean, I'm looking up at the sky more than anything. I do remember being hoisted into the ambulance. That I do remember. And I remember that one of the doors closing. So that's a fuzzy memory. And I definitely remember the voice of the paramedic who talked to me a bunch as we were heading back to Honolulu. But I must have been in and out of it, because my next memory is just being in the bed in the medical center. I don't remember arriving in the hospital. I don't remember anything else about that. I just remember all of a sudden being there. And even then, like, I was thankful to be able to actually meet and talk to the first responders. After there's the same lady who showed up in the hospital, put this thing together. I wanted a chance to be able to thank them for rescuing me and saving my life. And I got to meet a bunch of them, like almost a dozen guys, but I would never have been able to recognize them. I must have seen them in quotes, because they were there helping me. I remember the shadow of the one guy who rappelled down, but I was so out of it, I never would have recognized them. But so it was nice to put faces to the guys who'd rescued me. So the guy who rappelled down, the paramedic, and some of the other guys, the helicopter pilot. I mean, I got to meet all of them.
Now you got all serious and heartfelt, and I don't know if I can ask my question now.
Well, you can do that in a minute. I mean, from the pictures I saw, it did look like you got that aloha spirit, right? Like, once they found you and you're in the hospital, it just seems like they treated you really well, and you became almost like a little celebrity to what happened, maybe for all the wrong reasons. And now we know you're going to be in a PSA, so your face is going to be everywhere. But, I mean, how well were you treated by the people in Hawaii?
They treated me wonderfully. So the hospital staff were great overall. Yeah, they were excellent. The lady who showed up, I mean, that's what their nonprofit does, is just help people who are visiting the islands and have difficult situations or traumatic situations like this, really have needs. They try to show up and help you. That's what BASH does. Even talking to the people at the press conference, it was sort of a press conference. Press was also there. I keep calling it a press conference. Press was there, and it was my time to talk to the first responders as well. They were everyone. Everyone was wonderful. Even the people that the lady who's the CEO of this nonprofit, her name is Jessica. She introduced me to other people as well when I was there. So the only negativity I ever got was just like stupid online comments about whatever. You cost us $20,000 in services for having to rescue you, you stupid hiker. That's like that's the sort of stuff. But no one that I ever spoke with there, everyone was fantastic. The nurse I had for a couple of days, he was fantastic. I mean, it was really good, all things considered.
Can you imagine being such a jerk that your first thought is, you know, you're going to harass the person?
We all work on the internet. We know what it's
I know that, but I mean, I live in a place that's all touristy, right? It's like, the first time I hear somebody gets hurt and my first thought is, oh my God, that cost me $20,000 in emergency services or whatever. And then to go on to their, you know, internet and harass them that way, that just sucks.
Yeah, it is. It's bad.
It's good that everybody you dealt with was nice and in that. Sometimes I feel sorry for the way people look at the world.
No, I agree. And the amazing thing is some of these, like the Honolulu Fire Department, I didn't get a bill from them. I don't think I'm going to get a bill from them. They are very well funded and they deal with a lot of rescues. People hiking out there, people all over the place out there. So it's not like it's a direct cost. It's a fire department. The fire department goes and does their job. That's what people don't realize. I mean, the whole, and the other thing is I just rolled my eyes because, I mean, you guys, the islands are supported basically by tourism.
Yeah.
They're a draw. They're such a unique island chain. They're a destination for tons of other people in the U.S. I mean, you wouldn't have the industries and wealth and stuff that you do if not for all the tourism. So finish your thought, finish your line of thinking and come to a different conclusion.
Yeah. And it's crazy. That's something people don't think about because there's like big sand dunes in Michigan and stuff, and people will get stuck at the bottom and they'll have to call in like a helicopter to come get them out because they just can't get back up. And they get a big bill for that. Like it's like a rescue bill. They get charged sometimes depending on where you live. If you have a fire at your house and the fire department has to come to save it, they send you a bill afterwards. And
yeah,
I don't think a lot of people realize that and how crazy that seems, but it does happen.
Yeah. I think there's good ways to mitigate against the cost. Like in my area, there's a Cal Air Life Flight service that will rescue people here. You can become a member and you pay a flat annual fee. If they have to rescue you, I don't think they charge you. But if you're not a member, haven't paid and helped support the service, they will charge you and give you a bill for that. I don't know that for certain.
You don't need to join, Ian. Okay. You don't need any more of these adventures. Yeah. You've had enough.
I've been a member of it before. So
come on, we're credit card salesmen. This is when you hawk like the Amex Platinum's life-saving coverage if you book the trip.
I've never heard of like rescue coverage on any credit card, but if there is one, I probably need it.
Not being Humpty Dumpty. Being Humpty Dumpty down the hill. It's not covered.
So who's going to play you in the movie, Ian?
I'm drawing a blank. I don't know.
Chris Evans.
I don't know. I've been asked that a couple of times. So
you know who I'm voting for?
Who are you voting for?
Guy Fieri, right? I mean, who else could
play him? Oh, no. No.
Bring a plate of nachos to set every day and be like, here you go. Here's some garbage can.
Guy would have had his own burgers. He would have had a whole setup there at the bottom of that that hill if it was him.
Oh, he probably would have clicked some like fig leaves down and like cooked the whole dinner. And hey, I'm good for another week, guys. I can make anything out. I can survive. Okay. So burning question that everybody is thinking right now is, how soiled were your pants by the time that they picked
you up? What? This is exactly what we talked about at the minute you were off when your internet failed. This is where Mark went immediately. And I was all about it too. So you got to answer.
In all honesty, there was no soiling in my pants.
Nice.
None.
Nice.
Even after 3 days, none. And even after in the hospital, like.
Your body was holding every bit it could in for nutrition.
Yes. So like to the point to where I was getting uncomfortable after, to where it's like, no, systems are starting to work again. Like I've eaten 6 meals. I need to go. It wasn't good on the other side.
Yeah. But isn't that crazy how like knows like the body's like, okay, we're going to work through this thing or whatever. That's just, that's crazy. Yeah. That was a burning question though. Everybody, you're welcome.
There's no soiling. No soiling in my pants.
I can honestly say that it never came across my mind until Mark said it earlier. So maybe a couple people out there are wondering the same thing, but we would, you know.
At least one other.
So I guess we should like, you know, as we draw to a close here on the story, I mean, we're so glad you're okay. And hopefully people who, again, if you hear us making fun of this, I think it's amazing that you can laugh and make fun or make light of this very traumatic thing that happened to you. And, you know, there's two ways you can go about something like this, letting it ruin your life or, you know, moving on and trying to make the best of what happened. And that seems to be what you're doing. And I love that you're doing the PSAs for Hawaii to help other tourists. What are some of your takeaways from this? Like, what are you going to do differently in the future when you're hiking, when you're out? How has this changed your life in that way?
As far as the change to my own habits and travel habits, I will absolutely be telling people where I go. Like I told my parents some of where I plan to go, but I didn't include this day. I made this plan spur of the moment, but I will definitely be in the future be telling people, this is my plan. This is where I'm going. this is when I expect to be done. Call me if you don't hear from me. Again, still don't hear from me after a while after that. I'm a lost person. Go to the authorities, stuff like that. Like give some of my plans. I will almost certainly hike alone. I probably wouldn't do a hike like this one that I did alone though. Like just because the risk is so high. Because had I had other problems, I could have been just fallen, broken a leg at a couple points and then been stuck out there because I can't get out of there. I'm just, hopefully my phone still worked at that point. But yeah, have a hiking buddy. I'm doing more research. So this is the first time that Google has sent me so far astray in this. Like I've used them for general hikes and trails and such, usually more like suburban type walking along a river in the city, something like that. I remember planning out a route when I was in Germany last year. I remember using them for some trails in Richmond, Virginia, just this past November. I mean, I use Google Maps all the time, but just like being able to do some more research about the trail. I didn't know what I was getting myself into, especially with like the Poly Notches into the trail, what it would have been had I finished it. But beyond that, just to life in general, you guys are right. It has not ruined my life. And I can, in all honesty, say that I wake up each day and I'm just thankful to be alive. It's really changed my perspective in that sense. And I mean, I get bugged by little things still, obviously, but there's just things like, you know what? If I take a moment and take a step back, this is not that big a deal. I should not be worried about this thing, that, the other.
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing story that you survived it. A lot of people probably wouldn't have, or one wrong bump the wrong way. And there's so many things that could have gone wrong. And like you said, there's no worry about going back and changing that, but just looking at the positives. And I think it's a good point you made about technology and how we can become so reliant on it. You know, 20 years ago, if you were going to do that hike, you probably would have gotten a wealth of information from a book or from other hikers. Now you can make a last minute decision, go to Google Maps and do something without all of the information. And yeah, it's a good reminder to not be doing it out on your own. Hiking solo, that's always difficult, especially on a longer trail. So we're glad you're okay.
I got a question. Okay, so, you know, when I first heard the story, I'm thinking that you're like all the way at the bottom of the mountain. And then I was like, he must have been really concussed. That's why he didn't walk out. But now finding you were in this like flat area, kind of in the middle of it, I was wondering, like, you probably don't want to ever go back to that trail, which you probably, nobody should go on that trail. But like, if you could get to the landing, would you want to go there and like witness where it was and kind of like in a year or two? Or is it even possible to get back to that spot?
If I knew it was accessible, even with some effort, even if I could kind of hike or boulder up from below to get up to it, because I wouldn't want to come down it again, obviously. But if you could get up to it from from below to where I was, I'd actually be interested to see exactly what it looked like, where it is, et cetera.
Yeah. Do they have any like body cam or anything from the rescue that you can like see what it looks like?
I need to reach out to the fire department because he has photos, they have a little bit of video, they have a bunch of things. So I'd like to get some of that. I haven't asked for it yet though, but it actually would be cool to see. And I should ask Honolulu Fire Department for that.
Final follow-up question. Has Netflix reached out for rights yet?
No, no, but I will say I do have a friend who is a screenwriter and he has asked me some questions about it.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And I'm like, this is the furthest thing from my mind to want to have a film, but I'm just like, whatever. We'll see where it goes.
Get Guy Fieri attached to the project and it'll all happen. It'll happen. That's how you fast track it.
He can run the kitchen.
No. No. Well, if he runs the kitchen, sure. That'd be fine with. That'd be fun.
For people who don't know, Guy Fieri is Ian's favorite chef, and he's from the same town Ian is from. And so anything that I can remotely relate to Guy Fieri in his life, I do, which is, I know the joke is well played out by now, but I still love
it. Isn't it Fieri? Yeah. Or is it Fieri? How do we say Fieri? It's not even his real name.
Fieri.
No, it's not. And he makes a point to say Fieri. Yeah.
His last name as it was here before was not Fieri.
Does he ever come back to the roots and hang out in old Burndale?
Oh, yeah. I've seen him here in town a couple times. Yeah.
Oh, really? That's cool. You already got the connection. Make it happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've met him in person one time, just once at an event we were both invited to. And then I've seen him around a handful of times in town. So
I love how you just put in there, I wasn't stalking him. I was invited to the event with him. His real name is Guy Ramsey Ferry. That's his real name. Guy Ramsey Ferry.
Ramsey was already taken, so he couldn't use that one.
Okay, yes. I didn't know. Guy Ferry is the last name. So,
Oh, well, what a great way to end the episode on a Guy Fieri terrible joke from Sean. Ian, thanks so much for coming. I mean, again, so happy that you're okay and really glad you were sharing your story in this sort of fun, loose way with us. And we'll wait for the movie to tell the more dramatic tale of what actually happened better than we could ever do that.
Yes.
But where can people find you? I failed to mention at the beginning Family Flies Free, which is your site on Travel Update at Boarding Area. But where can people find you when they're not listening to this fine podcast?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at Family Flies Free. That's probably the best way to find my travel update content. And then I'll often retweet or post stuff from the other outlets. I also write, I've been writing more for Award Wallet. So I'm there as one of the writers. I don't know if you can find me on the site somewhere in the list, but those have been the two more main outlets lately.
And Mr. Mark, where can people find you these days other than on our YouTube Vegas channel, youtube.com/miles2memories, but all your other stuff, where are they looking for you?
You can find my awesome chips and cheese pictures on Twitter at Detroit Mark, Nacho Gate, baby. And then travelonpoints.net is where I've been writing. How about you, Sean?
At miles2memories all over social media. You can find all our posts, podcasts, videos on the site. For this podcast, if you like it, consider leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It helps us out a lot. Thanks so much to everybody out there for listening. Thanks again, Ian, for coming and sharing your story, and Mark too for joining in, co-hosting for this episode. Good to have you back as well.
Yes, thank you. It was amazing.
Thanks everybody for listening. Talk to you next time.
Arr,
oh my goodness.